Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. I see a lot of visitors with us this morning, and we want to know that you are certainly welcome here this morning. We want you to feel welcome. And if you look down your pew and see somebody that may be a visitor, please speak to them before the service is over. If you're not sure whether or not they are a visitor or a member here and you just haven't seen them in a while, speak to them anyway. It's time you got to know them if you don't already know them. Would like for members and visitors alike to please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we ask you to please give us your address and your phone number, and we'll have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. Reminder that December 3rd, we will be having our fundraiser meal for the Honduras medical mission trip. We actually have three people that are going on that trip this year: Steve Skinner, Josh Skinner, and Mary Kate Dula. Tickets are $5 a piece and will be on sale immediately following the service just outside this door here. And all of the proceeds from that luncheon will go for purchasing medical supplies for that mission trip. Reminder that there will be no gathering this Wednesday night. The church office will close at 1 o'clock on Wednesday and then will be closed Thursday and Friday. Men are reminded that the men's club will meet this Tuesday evening. You can make reservations using the pew cards in the church in the pew racks or by calling the church office. Main Streeters, your next meeting is on the 28th. You must make reservations no later than tomorrow for that. The program this month will be the Main Streeter, Greenwood High School Show Choir, so you can make reservations again by using the pew cards or calling the church office. And I have a set of keys that were dropped in the parking lot. Looked like a set of Ford keys, I think someone said, and there's a CVS card on there, so I'll be over here to the side. If anyone has lost your keys, I have them. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Seated and join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. Thank you, Creator of the universe, for the people gathered around us today. We give thanks for the things that give us the means of life. Thank you for the plants and animals that we use as food and medicine. Thank you for the natural world, in which we find the means to be clothed and housed. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to use these gifts of creation. Help us to see our place among these gifts, not to squander them or think of them as means for selfish gain. May we respect the life of all you have made. May our spirits be strengthened by using only what we need, and may we use our strength to help those who need us. Amen.
We thank you. We invite now to the microphone at the pulpit Peggy Ackerman, who will be bringing our stewardship moment.
For those of you that don't know me, I am not Peggy Ackerman. Peggy is having a problem with a dog of hers that she's had for 14 years. It's pretty seriously ill, so she couldn't make it this morning. So I'm filling in kind of on the spur of the moment for stewardship moment. Today is Commitment Sunday here at Main Street United Methodist Church, and later in the service we'll have an opportunity to come forward and commit ourselves to a life of stewardship. As many of you know, but some of you may have joined since we started this several years ago, we started out in an act of faith as far as the way we did our stewardship. We decided that it would demonstrate the faith of this church that God would provide, and the faith that we had in each other as members of Body of Faith if we made our commitments between us and God. So a couple years ago, we had people come and put their commitment cards in the stained glass box that's on the table down here in front of the altar. And they stayed in there. No one took them out. And so it was truly a commitment made between the individual and God. And that box stayed on the altar for 2 years, as a reminder of that commitment that we each made with God. Those commitments from 2 years ago have been taken out destroyed. No one looked at them. And this year we're again going to, act of faith and symbolic faith, have people bring their commitments today and put them in that box, and they will stay in that box on the altar as a reminder of our commitment between us and God. Also, at that time, we started stewardship as not a campaign about money and what we need to do to raise the budget, but stewardship as a way of life. It's a way of life that we lead every day in everything that we say and do, no matter where we are, whether we're in church or whether we're at work or at school or wherever we are, in response to our relationship to God and in recognition of what God has done for us and what God has given us. And out of joy and thanksgiving for what we receive, we give back. And so that has been the focus of our stewardship campaign for several years now. So today, when you're given the opportunity to come forward, I hope you come forward and think about what God has done for you, and think about your life as a life of steward in response to what God has given you, and make that commitment today, and remember that it will be between you and God, and thank you for your time.
As we come to our community concerns, we have very many printed in the bulletin, but I want to lift up a few that are not in the bulletin. Ruby Miner is having trouble with her back, has some tests coming up. Margaret Crooks is in the hospital. She is expecting and having some preterm labor. Gail Nordyke, his stepmother, is very ill in the hospital. Buddy Roberts, Angie Baker's father, is in the hospital. Shorty Callison was briefly in the hospital, is back home. Karen Dent, recovering from surgery. We lost a longtime member, Dorothy Hill, on Friday. Her service will be tomorrow at Harley's funeral home at 2:30. And I think I saw Candace Pepper here. Peppers, where is she? Back there. Okay, everything went well with her. Okay, good. We've been praying for her and everything is going well. That's great. Are there other concerns not listed in the bulletin or that I have not mentioned that you wish to lift up? I feel like I was leaving one out. Well, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, how can we thank you for your many gifts? We have heat in our homes. We have transportation and medicine and friends who care. Lord, we also thank you for the warmth in our hearts, for the sweet assurance of forgiveness and the ability to forgive others and to do the things that make for peace. As we pass through time and speed into the Christmas season of hurry and debt and frantic schedules, Lord, give us pause in this moment of prayer to thank you for your blessings, large and small. Lead us to overflow by being a blessing to others in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we do pray for the world and what we have made of it. We do pray for the leaders of the nations of the world that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. We pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for those who are ill and wonder what the next doctor may say. We pray for those who are unable and not strong enough to be with us today. We pray for families where there is strife, for those with difficult decisions to make, those with financial problems, those who have a bitterness or doubt. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I will ask for Carter Stewart Pitts and family to come forward for the sacrament of baptism. Please, congregation, turn to page 39. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present to you now the Carter Stewart Pitts for baptism. Now, Gerald and Jennifer, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And now I address all, congregation included. Let us join together in the professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Also with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the peoples and declare it among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Hey, as a new grandfather, I'm a little better practiced than I have been. Carter Stewart, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Carter, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend this young child to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you with Christian love.
as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And now we will present to you Carter. Now I invite the children forward for the children's time with Kathy Kelly. Now let us greet one another and pass the peace. Let us continue our worship. We'll continue now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for your many gifts. We thank you for enough to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Hear now God's word. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines, but this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'll warn you, as I warned my 828 congregation, that I know it seems unlikely for me to be able to pull together a bit of Thanksgiving, a bit of Commitment Sunday, and the destruction of the temple into one short sermon. I'm going to try. The story is told that when Sherman marched to the sea, a little old lady refused to leave her home in rural Georgia. She stood on the front porch and she saw the homes and the fields of her neighbors burning across the valley. And as Sherman's army came closer, he started down the road to her farm, and she just couldn't stand by and do nothing. So she grabbed up her broom and she stood in the middle of the road in front of that army. And the captain stopped his marching soldiers and said, "Old lady, do you expect to win the war with a broom?" And she quickly said, "No, but at least I'll show the world whose side I'm on." They told me Wednesday night that I didn't tell jokes well, and that I should have a sign saying that this is supposed to be funny. They may be right. I may put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. I'm not sure. Well, that was funny. Well, she, the lady in this story, true or not, knew that everything was falling down all around her, but she wanted to be doing something for her side. Now, in the gospel, I want you to picture this scene. For a moment, the disciples were awestruck, gazing upon the magnificent temple. They were saying, "Wow, Jesus, look at that." Now, the temple was huge, huge in stone, and the stone was covered and leafed with gold in places. And loosely translated, Jesus' response was, "Boys, it's just a building. Not one single stone will be left in its place. Every one of them will be thrown down." And I'm sure that they thought at first, just a building? Just a building? For the Jewish people, the temple was their identity. It was the one place they could properly worship, the only place they could offer sacrifice. It was thought to be the actual residing place of God. And beyond its religious value and physical magnificence, it was a national symbol of the Jewish people. It would be as if the Statue of Liberty and the White House and the Washington Monument were suddenly gone in this country. For the temple to be torn down to rubble would undercut all the earthly foundations of the faith and of the nation. The temple, as grand as it was, fell down as Jesus predicted. It fell down as all earthly things fall down, as indeed we each will fall down. All we can do is in some way show the world whose side we are on. Now, the trustees tell us that if we don't maintain this beautiful old building, that it one day will fall down. We hope not today. You have to maintain things. And that's best done a little along, a little along. Same with our bodies. I found this out, most of you know this, but I found out a few months ago. I decided since I'm approaching 50 years old that I was going to get back into shape all at once. So I went to the Y. It's not that funny. I went to the Y. Laugh when I don't want you to laugh. I went to the Y, and I went on a pretty rigorous weight program, and I was doing some bench pressing, and I was going a little herky-jerky about it, and my surgery scheduled December the 6th. I hurt my shoulder. It is best to maintain things a little bit along. Do what you can, a little along, and you end up better off. The same with giving to the church. You should give weekly, W-E-E-K, weekly, instead of waiting until just after Christmas, thinking it's almost the end of the year, and then only being able to give weekly, W-E-A-K-L-E-Y, excuse me. This is a bad day. I like the story, I've told it before, but I love this story about the young man who was in love, and he was having difficulty in mustering up the courage to actually touch his beloved. So instead of touching her at all, not even holding her hand, he would use words. And he said, "Emmylou, if I had 1,000 eyes, they would all be looking at you. Emmylou, if I had 1,000 arms, they would all be embracing you. Emmylou, if I had 1,000 lips, they would all be kissing you." And finally, Emmylou looked at Homer in disgust and said, "Homer, stop complaining about what you don't have and start using what you do." Maintain your bodies, that is stewardship, a little along on a regular basis. Maintain your home and your car on a regular basis. These things are good. And maintain your prayer relationship with God every day. Maintain your faith by, my suggestion is at least reading the Gospel of John once a month. At least reading the Gospel of John once a month, and then work up to regular Bible study. We know that God is not contained in any temple, but we forget that God does reside in His children, in us. Scripture asks, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Maintain your body as the very dwelling place of God. Do what you can while you can for God with your life, your body, and your wealth. This is stewardship. Or as John Wesley did it so memorably, said it so memorably about money. He said, "Go ahead and make all the money you can, But don't spend it frivolously. Save all the money you can, and then you'll be able to give all the money you can and show whose side you are on. We are more than admirers of a building here. We are fellow ministers of the gospel, completely owned body and soul by God in Christ Jesus. We were bought with a price. Francis Ayers said, if you are a baptized Christian, you are already a minister, whether you like that or not. You may be surprised to hear it, alarmed or pleased or antagonized or suspicious or acquiescent or scornful or enraged. Nevertheless, you are a minister of Christ. You may never minister in great ways, but we can all just plod along. We can do some things with what we have. William Carey was a brilliant linguist and botanist and missionary, and his nephew once asked him how he could be so brilliant. He said he was not brilliant, that he just plodded along. He just plodded along. He said, I can persevere in any definite pursuit. We all can do that. We can plod, we can persevere, as we used to say, we can keep on keeping on. We can make a plan, we can have a goal, and we can do something toward it on a regular basis. Sometimes plodding or persevering is needed even for such things as forgiveness. You probably didn't see that coming, but I believe that. I know this for myself. Some things you cannot forgive all at once. It takes time. We must work at it. We must pray for God's help to do it and grow into it. We cannot maintain ourselves as we are and grow into the image of Christ at the same time. When we pray for growth and faith, we are praying for change, giving up some of what we thought was important for what God thinks is important. Albert Schweitzer said, Christian piety of any and every sort is valuable only so far as it means the surrender of our will to God's. How surrendered are we? Our bodies, our actions, our assets, our memory upon this earth will all fall down. It will all fall away. What remains? What remains is knowing one day, what small things we have done in faithfulness and hope and echoing the love, the forgiveness and grace of Christ. These things will matter to others and their heart make an eternal difference. And these things will matter to God. How we have been stewards of our time, our talent, of the gospel message and of our money. One Saturday morning, a young boy who lived up north where they have snow, he earned his money by shoveling snow, and his father asked, why are you so slow in leaving the house? It's getting late in the morning. His dad said, why are you so slow? This is how you make your money. He says, oh, I'm just waiting. Dad said, waiting for what? He said, I am waiting for other people to get started shoveling their driveways. I get most of my jobs from people who quit halfway through. As we grow and show God in our lives, we dare not quit anywhere along the way. The presence of God is not concentrated in buildings, no. The presence of God was concentrated in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and reigning. Jesus merits all of our commitment, all of our worship, and the focus of our lives. And Jesus is not just a memory we find in the Bible in stories. He said in Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Do we live as if we believe that Jesus is actually in our midst? You and I have already been told what to do, and it isn't always easy, and it isn't always risk-free. We are called to take care of all that God has given us, and to take special care to share far and wide the gospel. We won't leave any lasting monuments, and even if we did, they would only last so long. And then they too would fall down. What impresses others and what impresses God is faithfulness and trust and hope. We can live in a way that shows whose side we're on. And that's what Commitment Sunday is about. What matters most after... I'm almost finished. What matters most... I think sometimes babies just echo the sentiment of what everybody else is not saying. I'm almost finished. What matters most after our short time here is over. What matters is what we did with what we have been given and who we did it for. What matters is what we did with what we have been given and who we did it for. Jesus taught us to love God and to love our neighbor. And Jesus taught that all we have here falls down and falls away, and so we should put our final hope and our final trust in God and hold everything else loosely. Decide what matters most and stick to it. All we can do in this life that lasts is to speak the words of grace and truth and to build up and to maintain the things we value. We gather here to give thanks to God for the gift of life and for the forgiveness of sins and for the ability to forgive others and make for peace. And we thank God for the hope eternal we have to one day be eternally in His arms, in His embrace. Out of thanks and trust in God, we should show in many ways, a little each day, whose side we are on. Now, one last word. As you commit to God, you also consecrate and make holy. When we set something apart for God, we make it holy. We make holy that part of ourselves, our time, our talent, and our money, which we hand over for God's use. It becomes consecrated. A church member one time asked her minister, "Will you please tell me what the word consecrated means? What does consecration mean?" And he held out a blank sheet of paper, and the pastor said to her, "Consecration is when you sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet and let God fill it in. Sign your name at a blank sheet and trust God, let God fill it in as He leads you what to do and where to spend your time, where to spend your talents, where to spend your wealth for things that matter most." Amen. Now, we have a special personal commitment time, which I have left time for, I believe, and we're going to ask the acolyte to come forward and hold our box, now emptied and ready for new commitment cards. And as you come forward, she will come to you wherever you kneel, kneel as long as you wish, and put your personal commitment card into the box, which will remain on the altar all this next year. Thank you. you go put it in. And then we'll go pray over here. Please stand for our closing hymn, number 102.
Thank you.
Now receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power and the comfort in this present moment and forevermore of the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.